This is the Rafah crossing, the only official way to enter Gaza from Egypt. We arrived to find activists like us from the US, France, Britain and Italy who had come to see what had really happened here and to bring a message of solidarity and assistance to the Palestinian people. These activists, while staying at the border, have been kept awake by bombing raids carried out by Israeli F-16s along the border. With the growing number of activists and medical teams amassing at the border, their ability to effectively lobby from here, and with the threat that London and internationally based activists would march on the Egyptian embassy, the authorities became edgy. Eventually, without warning, we were allowed to cross the border. This is where we met Hanan Shawar, our interpreter, and other US citizens who are coming to offer their support and solidarity.
My name is Tyler Westbrook, and I'm from Vermont in the United States.
I'm Selena Trammell. I'm originally from Arizona, and I'm living in Boston, Massachusetts right now in the U.S.
And I came here due to the horrible situation in Gaza, and I feel responsible as an American citizen. It is my taxpayer money that flies these F-16s that drops the bombs on the Palestinian people in violation of international law, in violation of the Geneva Conventions, of the Nuremberg Principles, and of American law.
In terms of the U.S., I think it's very important that we bear witness. Our media is very biased. It's covering a lot of the story, and we got very little from the mainstream media. So I'm hoping that the photos and the stories that we bring back to the U.S. will show people the reality on the ground. And
I visited Palestine before, and I see it as a central issue to so many more. If we can work this one out, then perhaps we have a chance at dealing with other issues. And to me, I felt like I must come. I must come and I must bear witness to what's happened here, and I also must document what happened here to take it back and show people in America that maybe don't know or maybe have the wrong idea. They watch the Fox News and the CNN, and CNN and Fox News never speaks about the children and the women and the people of Palestine. They only speak of Hamas and the rockets. And then everything Israel does is in defense of that. So what I'm trying to do as a citizen is to show the truth of this situation without it being subject to some corporation and how they want the story to come out.
Well, I've been here a couple of times. I first got interested in Palestine when I was a student in Egypt. 9 years ago, and really wondering about what was going on in the Holy Land and what all of these stories were. I grew up in a conservative Christian family and always received a very Zionist kind of Israel-only sort of narrative. So I was interested not only to see the places that I had read about as a child in the Bible, but to also learn about the living rocks and see the story of why this place was in such great conflict.
Since the withdrawal of illegal Israeli settlements from Gaza in 2005, the area has been under siege. Sealed by walls on all sides, and with Israeli gunboats patrolling the ocean, food, medicine, clothes, educational supplies, and almost every other aspect of normal life have been blocked from entering or leaving. This has led to 75% unemployment, mass poverty, and the closing down of nearly all enterprise on one of the most heavily populated areas of the planet. With Israel blocking its border to the east, and Egypt willingly accepting the task to the west, it's not just vital supplies which are kept out of Gaza. During the latest Israeli invasion, during December 2008 and January 2009, even the media were kept away from Gaza. With mainstream media outlets willingly accepting their exclusion, they resorted instead to unchallenged verbatim reports from Israeli government officials. As the director of Israel's government press office, Daniel Seaman, said, "Any journalist who enters Gaza becomes a fig leaf and front for the Hamas terror organization, and I see no reason why we should help that. We believe that the world has the right to see what really happened during the invasion, and what the reality of life meant to Palestinian people still imprisoned in the Gaza Strip." The Palestinian media, however, appreciated the support of activists from the UK, marking our arrival with a quick interview.
Okay, my name is Patrick Ward. I've come here from the Stop the War movement in Britain. I've come as a journalist basically to record what's really going on in Gaza, because in Britain at the moment there's been a massive movement against the war.
We then headed to the site of the first attack by the Israelis in this latest of their growing list of atrocities against the Palestinian people. This is the scene of the first attack of the most recent war on Gaza. On the 27th of December 2008, as many around the world celebrated Christmas and Western governments were in recess, it was graduation day at this police academy when the warplanes attacked. The site was bombed repeatedly, killing 85 graduates. This ceremony for the graduation of police officers had been planned for months, as had the Israeli bombardment, which led to their deaths.
Behind me is the police training academy, destroyed by the Israelis during the bombing of Gaza. All around this is destruction. You can see broken bricks, bits of concrete, melted and twisted wires. Whatever they've used to destroy this place, it was a massive bomb, and we've been told about this by the Red Crescent when we arrived. The Israelis used a much larger weapon than anyone had seen before in Gaza, and as you can see from the devastation, it's horrendous.
Official documents, magazine cartridges, and unrecognisable twisted pieces of metal lie strewn across the site where children now play. The academy was not spared by the Israelis, nor, it would seem, was any aspect of civilian life, with fishing boats, markets, farm machinery, hospitals and industry all targeted. As even French President Nicolas Sarkozy said, "It is an absolute humanitarian disaster. Every government building has been bombed."
Okay, so we've just heard, we're driving away from the site we were just at because the Egyptians have just heard reports from Israel that there is likely to be an attack soon, perhaps by an F-16. Everyone has to get away from 300 metres away from the Rafah crossing at the moment to stay safe. So that's what we're doing.
It wasn't just the basic infrastructure that was hit.
The Al Jazeera Hotel was a venue where people were told parties, they'd have weddings, birthdays, that sort of thing. And as you can see behind me, this is what's left of it after the Israeli bombardment.
During the Israeli invasion, bombs, missiles and tanks destroyed much of the infrastructure of Gaza. Schools, mosques, the cement factory, farms, houses, banks, government buildings, universities and even the zoo was hit.
This was the Minister of the Interior, the equivalent to our British Home Office. It's where records of all births, marriages and deaths were kept in Gaza. As you can see, it's now completely destroyed.
The siege from Egypt and Israel meant that getting the materials to rebuild will be near impossible. Whilst Gordon Brown committed two warships to further blockade the Gazan people, simple building materials such as cement are not being allowed in.